I would say almost worse street walking problem than we have out here on Sepulveda Boulevard. Okay, so that doesn't hold water. Legalizing prostitution of the sex industry increases child prostitution. It also does not protect women in prostitution. It increases the demand for prostitution. It encourages men to buy women for sex in a wider and more permissible range. Also, legalizing prostitution increases the risk to women's health. That can't be stressed enough. We talked about someone who was HIV positive, okay? Yeah. That is a big problem, okay? Legalizing prostitution does not enhance women's choices. Also, legalizing prostitution, women in the systems of prostitution do not want the sex industry legalized. Those are the top 10 of why I hold up it should not be legalized. Critical thinking is essential in life. This subject needs to have that applied to it. So when I talked about the book, again, Selling the Daughters of America, I want you to do your own research. I want you to come to your own conclusions. I want you to form your own opinions based on an educated effort on your part. That's really what my hope for is here speaking with you tonight. Part of what we're doing here in Van Nuys is through our committee that Penny's the president of, the CPAB committee. We're starting a subcommittee that is going to specifically deal or address the issues of the streetwalking prostitution problem on Sepulveda Boulevard. So that's something that we're starting. So I'm looking forward to the community members who will be involved in that community. With that being said, I know I'm cutting my time short.
No, it's fine, Ron. You're totally good, man.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just segue. I can take a couple questions.
Yeah, let's open it up to Q&A. That
you decide.
And everyone in the room is going to ask Ron a question, so we're just going to start over here to the left. I'm sorry. It's a bad joke. Okay, let's go with Deborah Quigley first. Deborah.
No, not you, Deborah.
If the internet is helping to connect the buyer and the victim, there's not the need now. The need for brothels and for streetwalking is lessened because it's all agreed and it's all held in clandestine rooms. Have you noticed a lessening of public?
I can say yes. When I first came on the department 20, like I said, over 25 years ago, I was out here in Van Nuys, and 23 years ago, and in respect to what I saw then from the streetwalking prostitution problem to compared to what I see now is a significant change in that it's not as visible, as you just said, and I contribute the internet to a lot of that. We still have a lot of the brothels. We take down brothels all the time. I find these places on the internet. That's where we do our police work, is on the internet. I go right where the source is. I go to the escort services. We identify those. We address those. So it's not just the streetwalking component to it that we deal with it from the enforcement level that I come from. Okay.
Let's go, Donna. We haven't heard from you all night, Donna. Stephanie's next.
That's a very good point, is that we typically talk about that the girls are involved. This is applicable to the male victims as well. It's not something that we experience so much here in Van Nuys, although I did have an occasion to deal with a clandestine massage parlor that was being run by a sexual register. We call them 290s. They had to register as a sex offender, and he brought in young boys to do massage in a house just 3 blocks from here, And so we conducted our undercover operations in there, and he's back in prison. So it does happen, okay?
That's awful.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Jesse Terrell, and I wanted to say the CPAC works really well. We've been doing that 3 years over at Foothill Division, the CPAC with Captain Malinowski. And we're part of the section of the CPAC. It really works real well. Officer, is it mostly gang members, Crips, Bloods, MS-13, 18th Street that are doing the pimping, or is this independent pimps that are running around, or are they connected in some way?
Excellent question. And what we're seeing is a trend where the more violent gangs from the south, typically from the south end of L.A., you know, the Crips, the Bloods, things of that nature, they're getting out of the dope business, which is predominantly where they were generating their financial means. As pointed out by Agent Schlegel, that there is more money to be made with less of a hazard, if you would. So, yes, it's very much the organized crime component to it. Street gangs are organized crime, okay? So we are seeing that. So that's bringing a more of a higher level of propensity of violence, okay, out into the community here where everybody lives. So, yes, there is the gang element to it. Really good question. And they and pimps also drive beat up Toyota Camrys too. Okay. So it's absolutely. So what do we in law enforcement, we don't want you to become a victim. We want you to be the best witness that you can be, getting license plates, vehicle descriptions, providing that intel that I need to modify the tactics that I use on a daily basis. Okay. My contact information is, I'll give you my email address for the department. It's 26799, and I'll repeat it, at lapd.lacity.org. That's my direct email. There's a couple folks in here who do provide me with a steady flow of intel, because it is a cat and mouse game. It's like playing chess. They're constantly watching what we're doing. They do counter surveillance on us. We know this, so we're constantly changing. Sure, 26799 at lapd.lacity.org. O-R-G.
All right, a couple more questions. We're going to Jeanette Hopp, and then a couple more from the audience. You're next after Jeanette, I promise. Ms. Hopp.
Sergeant, I have a inside tip from my husband who said that the quote-unquote one percenters, my husband's in a motorcycle club, and they're not a one percenter, are very much into trafficking because it is so lucrative. And I wonder if you can touch upon that. Is that true? And what is there anything specific being done to follow up on that, since they have chapters across the nation?
Mm-hmm. Specifically to the aspect of the motorcycle clubs, the outlaw motorcycle gangs, things like that, not something that I really come across very much. Now, Foothill Division has certain areas where that's a problem with them. And, yes, they do dabble in that as well. It's a money-making thing. These are, and I don't care if you're an illegal street gang, motorcycle gang. These individuals don't hold the law. It's about making money. More importantly, they don't honor human life.
They don't care about women.
Okay? No.
They don't respect women.
No, not at all.
Yes, ma'am.
As long as we've got a money sign.
Yeah.
That is something that is in the works of becoming better, okay? Unfortunately, I'm limited when it comes to the ones that I have to, when I get a minor in custody, I'm limited to my resources that I have to care for them. For example, I just last week got the 15-year-old and had to contact DCFS on that. And then the foster care placement, group homes, things of that nature. And then Mary Magdalene Project is an additional resource to help, not so much the kids, but more the adults.
All right, Mr. Vice President, you had a question?
Yeah. When a John is arrested with an underage prostitute, is he arrested and then charged with a sex crime at the same time?
That's an excellent approach to it, and
so why not?
We're looking at being creative on how we're going to take more enforcement action on the Johns, and I think that it's something that's been lacking, from just the whole thing. We've been dealing with the girls all the time. Everything goes for the girls, arresting the girls. And we need to put more effort into the Johns. The handcuffs that I don't have on, they're on a John right now, okay? It was an adult that he was with, okay? Unfortunately for us, a lot of times we don't find out we have a minor in custody until way after the fact because they lie. Although the minor that my officers, when they operate, they get the violation from the minor 99% of the time. So it's not actually a John that we'd catch him with. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's why it's so rare.
All right, one more question for Sergeant Fisher. Don.
Right. No, that's an excellent question, and it's we actually do file both. And typically what will happen, like the ones I told you that our fugitive section just brought in, we originally had them in custody on pimping charges. And the challenge for law enforcement, we have to follow the rules. We have to obey the laws, the Constitution. Criminals don't. They don't care. So it's a little longer process. For example, when we had this guy and his cohort in custody, we booked him on pimping. Unfortunately, we didn't have the supportive evidence needed for the DA to file the charges. We had to actually get the phones. We had to write search warrants for the phones. We had to get the information downloaded from the phones and an iPad. Once we got that took 2 months. Once we got that information, we presented it to the DA. They filed, and the warrants were issued. Okay, so that, and I'm just real quick on the phone issue. The U.S. Supreme Court recently has ruled that we can't. I get somebody in custody. I can't just look at their phone. I used to be able to do that. I could have a pimp in custody that quick, almost. Not literally, but pretty close. By the use of this, I was like, this is so cool. They bring me the evidence I need. No more. I can't even look at it. So, got to write warrants. So,
all right, let's do one more question for Sergeant Fisher, and then we'll move on to Dr. Stephanie Powell. Yes.
You're right. You're talking about the complexity of the entire issue. It's not a real simple thing. It's a very complex issue. And what you're talking about and certain music that degrade women and talk about doing vile things to women, the, for lack of a better term, kind of the dumbing down of society, okay? So it's a very complex issue. It's very challenging. I wish I had the one answer that would solve the problem. but there is no such thing. So, but that's why we're all here.
Supply and demand.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sergeant Ron Fisher. Thank you, Sergeant Fisher. Thank you very much. And up next, the famous Dr. Stephanie Powell.
I wish.
Dr. Powell.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to say that you probably have one of the best vice sergeants in the valley, Sergeant Ron Fisher. I have the pleasure of working with him as a vice sergeant at Mission Division. I am a 30-year veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department. I just retired in last August. And my last 4 years, I was the vice sergeant for Mission. So Ron and I actually shared Sepulveda Boulevard. And so whenever I didn't have enough activity going on in Mission, we come over and help him out at Van Nuys. but he really is. There's been several nights, 3 o'clock in the morning, where Ron and I have looked at each other, you know, either on a task force and discussing this particular problem, and especially with dealing with the youth that are involved. Once I left LAPD, I actually used the Mary Magdalene Project. Has been around for about 30 years. I actually used them as a resource because what I found is that it wasn't an issue that could be arrested away, that there were services that were needed. And just as Ron was saying, when you're in law enforcement, your hands are tied. You can only do so much. But I did use them as a resource. So I did what people do when they retire and they don't have nothing else to do. I decided I was going to volunteer. So I called the Mary Magdalene Project and talked to them about volunteering, and they said, you know what, you don't have to volunteer. We have an executive director spot open. So I said, that's great, because I get a chance to work with the population that I actually fell in love with as a result of me working with them for so many years, and I was actually able to use my doctorate in organizational leadership, so it all panned out. So I'll tell you a little bit about the Mary Magdalene Project, because I think you guys have been inundated in terms of what sex trafficking is and what we actually see. All the things that have been described, we actually see and work with the women. But the Mary Magdalene Project is a non-faith-based organization. It's been around for over 30 years. The organization is in the forefront in the tough fight to help women and girls in Los Angeles area become successful survivors of commercial sex trafficking. So what we do is we actually empower these women. The journey out of such abusive and violent situations is a difficult one. And so especially for women who have been subject to abuse since childhood, we deal with the women. And so therefore, we deal with the women that have been left behind. They've been left behind as girls, because we will get a woman that's 23 years old. She may have been in a life since she was 13. And then there's arrested development. So these women are actually still those 13-year-olds. And they're still those 13-year-olds because they have been, if they've been with a pimp, that pimp is the one that has now socialized them, right? They're not getting the proper medical care. They're not getting the proper education. And so we talk a lot about the children, and the children are very important, but we can't forget about the women, because these women really are those children. And so those are the women that we deal with. To date, from February to July, we've had 104 clients were provided services through the Mary Magdalene Project, and that's just since February. It was 80 in 2013, and I'm going to tell you why that is, and the gentleman in the room that's in this room right now is the reason for that. Of those women that I just described, they have attended our diversion groups 587 times. We're seeing about 30 women a week in our drop-in center. One of the programs that we have is a prostitution diversion program, and it's been sanctioned by the city attorney's office. And Richard Schmidt, who is right here, has been so instrumental in that particular program. So what happens as a result of him Not the public defender's office, interesting, but it's coming from the city attorney's office, right? And so what they do is they will have women come to us that have been arrested for prostitution, and they have to attend 8 to 18 sessions. Once they complete those 18 sessions, we write a letter to the court, and that particular case is dismissed. So that's why we've had such a rise in clientele as a result of that. One of the other things that we do is we actually ride with law enforcement in their task force, and we provide services to the women when they are arrested. One of the things that just happened last week, and this is just how powerful this prostitution diversion program is. We had a woman that she was in her 20s. She was working on her master's degree at Cal State University of Northridge. And she met this guy who became her boyfriend. And anyway, he got her to enter the life of prostitution. She went through eight sessions of our program, and after she completed it and she went to court, the court clerk pushed the wrong button and showed that she had been convicted of the crime and she wasn't supposed to do that. The judge was going to uphold that. Now, keep in mind, this girl she went through our program. She's completely out of the life of prostitution, unable to find a job. She told me that she was at working at Chipotle, and she said, I guess it's because I had just started working there, but they had her actually on her hands and knees cleaning the floor. But to her, it didn't matter so much because she had a job. But the jobs that she was trying to get, she was unable to do it because of this conviction that she had. I called City Attorney Schmidt, and in a week, that was completely cleared up, and her case was dismissed, as it's supposed to, with this prostitution diversion program. So that's one of the services that we actually provide. The other services that we provide is that we have a residential house where the women can stay anywhere from 6 months to a year. And during that time, they get therapy. They get hopefully job placements. We meet them where they are. So if they want to go to school, we send them to community colleges. All of the services that we provide to these women are free. If they get any type of aid from the government, we'll give them a little bit of that money, and the other part we actually bank for them, so they'll have a nest egg when they leave. We also have outreach where we actually go out on Sepulveda Boulevard and we give out our information. And one thing I can say, because I will go up and down Sepulveda Boulevard probably for old time's sake, and and I've seen Ron out there, and I haven't seen any of my girls out there, none of them. So I think that our diversion program is actually working. The FBI agent talked about girls coming he arrested the pimp called Cream. We've actually had some of his girls come into our center, and he talked about the tattoos on the faces, and she had Cream actually written on her cheek. We were able to get that tattooed removed for her. So that, and I can't even begin to tell you how liberating it is when we're able to get these tattoos removed off of these girls' faces. So we're seeing a lot of that more often in terms of these tattoos on their faces. All of the clients that come into our program, regardless of whether it's with the diversion program or the residential program, they are assigned a caseworker. With that caseworker, we look at what are the goals that they want to accomplish, and we try and help them with those goals. And we also do follow-up. We have educational counselors. UCLA medical students just came in today, and they're going to provide health education. We also do resume building with these women. And, again, therapy is very essential and important. What I have noticed that even if some of the girls come into the diversion program and they're not absolutely ready to leave the life right then and there, it's planted in their heads. Some of these sessions, of those 8 sessions, deal with proper relationships, addiction to fast money, escape plans. exit plan. So, and they are survivor-led. So the women that actually lead the groups are survivors themselves, which is is in key of importance. What I have seen is that poverty seems to be one of the main stains that actually drives this, not only for the women that are out there, but also the pimps involved. Some of our partnerships are the FBI, LAPD, sheriffs. Councilwoman Nuri Martinez has been one of our best friends. She has been so instrumental for us, and she's been an angel. And of course, the city attorney's office and Strength United. So we have a strong partnership. 80% of the women that come into our center are pimp-driven. When you hear them speak about the things that have happened to them, I thought I knew everything because, you know, police officers have a tendency to think they know everything. I was one of those. So I thought I knew everything there was about human trafficking. When I came on this side of it, I learned so much more. These women talk about being beaten. They talk about the torture. A lot of them suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And so those are some of the things that we see. 52% of our clients in which we've provided services are between the ages of 18 and 24. It used to be that the women that came into our residential program were on the average age of about 30 to 40 years old. So they had really kind of aged out of the life. Now we're seeing them as young as 18 years old. So there is a whole lot of truth to the fact that this thing is getting a little, the women are getting a lot younger. I also want to put a plug in real quick that we are having a fundraiser walk on September 13th at Woodley Park. And you can also visit our website at www.mmp.org.
Thank you, Stephanie. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Powell? Going once. Going twice.
Yes.
Thank you, Stephanie. You're welcome. Very much.
Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, the former president of this esteemed council, Mr. Don Schultz.
Thanks, George, and really thanks. Thank you to the council, too, for all the effort you went to put this together. It certainly couldn't have been easy getting the speakers that we had. We've had some terrific speakers here this evening, and I think more information has been thrown in our direction, in our faces, probably than we ever thought we'd get at one meeting. But, excuse the voice, there's something I think we're all here for the same reason. Most of us probably couldn't explain exactly what human trafficking really was until we got here. And I'll bet a lot of us still have doubts that we couldn't leave this room. Boy, we couldn't leave this room and explain it to somebody outside on the street. But most of us are here for a very simple reason, street prostitution. We have it in our neighborhoods. We see it on the boulevards, primarily Sepulveda Boulevard. And Nuri Martinez has it in both ends of her district, over in the east end of the valley and, of course, Sepulveda Boulevard. What can we do about it? We've heard a lot of facts. What we don't have is an answer. And I think we can start thinking along some lines of, does it take more legislation? Does it take more punitive actions? And who are the real villains? The real villains are very simple. It's the pimps. And it's the Johns. And some of you may know some of the Johns. I know my wife asked me where I've been when I come back from my walk. Because unfortunately, I walk along Sepulveda Boulevard. So far, I've been able to escape any accusations. Let me go in a direction. I'm not going to take a lot of time here, George, because, you know, this.
You're the end of the show, so go ahead, Don.
Why am I lucky? Does everybody want to stretch for about 10 seconds just to get loose? All right, time's up. Nobody wants to do that.
Lead them in some yoga.
You know, there are two ways I see that. Let me also tell you that in the audience today are two members of our organization. It's a loose-knit organization right now that really will come into play and force when Nuri Martinez needs the help that she's going to need down the road in changing existing state legislation and finding a better way to punish the Johns. The pimps, when the police department and our city attorney gets the pimps, they can pretty much get them to court. But the pimps are elusive. You don't get that many of them. The ones that LAPD gets and the city attorney gets, those are the ones that go away for a while. But the people who are escaping the most and are doing the most damage in our neighborhood, it's not so much the girls. I know the women here don't like looking at those girls. We don't mind so much. But that didn't go over well at all.
When did you get home?
In the garage tonight.
Yeah. You're in trouble now, Don.
I know it. It isn't funny. It isn't funny to most of us. I mean, I'll get off that part. The Johns have to be punished in a way much stronger than the girls. Because if there is a... Thank you. It's all about a supply and demand issue. The Johns supply the demand. The girls, through the pimps, and this isn't news to anybody, accommodate them for a price. That's basic. How do we stop that? Well, are we punishing the Johns enough right now? I don't think we are. How do we change it? Well, you change it by changing some of the laws. But the laws aren't all that bad. They just need to be tougher, and the punitive values have to hit the pimps and the Johns more than they are right now. There are programs that the prostitutes want to get out of prostitution. Some of them will be killed on their way out. That's fact. We know that. That's been told to us. And Stephanie's organization and the city attorney's office, again, LAPD, we have the best police force in the world. It's that simple. Our vice division does a terrific job. But they can't arrest every time we see action going on in the streets. Some of us see it on a regular basis. I mean, really a regular basis. Vice tries to arrest as many as they can catch. The prosecution of the Johns becomes the problem. Let me say this. I've been privy to getting some of the information our city attorneys have run into when they prosecute the Johns. A particular instance, and I think it's law right now, if I'm not mistaken, Rick, there was a particular John that was caught in the act in his car with a prostitute, with a street girl. In the act, he was booked, arrested, taken to court, and I'm going to say something. If we have any judges in the room, I'll apologize to the good judges first. Okay? The judge dismissed the charges on the grounds of the car not being complicit in the crime. How could that be? If the car wasn't there, there wouldn't have been a crime unless it was in the bushes.
Are you kidding me?
Well, this is true. And we've got a city attorney's office and LAPD that has to deal with the type of judges that we have who think this is a victimless crime. The neighborhoods are the victims. The girls are the victims. And we have to find a way, and we do it by voting. We've got a city councilwoman who from day one, she didn't lobby this way, but from day one she became effective immediately. She was the first elected official in 30 years. Imagine that. In 30 years, and the only woman on the council right now, and when she got elected, to take the bull by the horns and say, hey, we have a problem. And she started reaching out to everyone, law enforcement, Stephanie. But what she can't do is do what we can do. We can put the pressure on Sacramento. We can put the pressure on the media. The media has been as guilty of not coming along and realizing that the quality of life that these neighborhoods are experiencing that are subjected to the prostitution activity can be quelled to some degree if these Johns are identified in the media. There are cities in the country that do that. L.A. has never done it. Some years ago, some of you may remember a city councilman, Hal Bernson. Do you? Okay. Some of us might be old enough to be. Hal Bernstein tried to convince the city council while he was still in city council to put the not only the names of the Johns, but the pictures of the Johns once they were convicted on Channel 35, the government channel. At the time, and I won't say who the city attorney was at that time, but some of you know, and it's not, in fact, he's a judge now. All right, cat's out of the bag. That particular city attorney advised the city council, you're opening a Pandora's box. Unfortunately, that's the mindset of too many of our sitting judges right now. I'm going to throw one last thing, if I may. New York has a sex crimes court. Before I get there, let me introduce at least two people here. We are an organization that's about a year and a half old called GASP. And I didn't make up this acronym, but I have a friend that did, and I haven't paid him enough for it because it's a great name. Groups Against Street Prostitution. And it's groups. It's not a 501c3 and not a 501c4. We don't collect dues. We'll have meetings when they're necessary. But what we want to do is get together with our elected officials, primarily Nuri, back what she's doing, and enforce. And I suggest to all of you, when you go back to your neighborhoods, you wouldn't be here today if you weren't experiencing in your neighborhoods the street prostitution issue. Go back and tell as many people as you can that, you know, it's time to rise up, and don't expect LAPD to take care of everything for you as far as this issue goes. Laws have to be changed. We have to give our LAPD better tools. They can do just so much. We can't have LAPD beat up the judges that say it's a victimless crime. I think if we could, which we can't do either, we can't vote the judges out that are in there right now. But what we can do, and we have David Rankell and my wife Prudy Schultz, please stand, both of you. All right, David, don't stand. You know my wife and you know David. They're both members of GASP. They're directors. The other gentleman couldn't make it this evening. We're building an organization, and I know you have one up in the Northeast Valley, too, and I know you're further along than we are, but there's no reason why somewhere we can't meet in the middle of the road, and if it's a march, we'll do a march. You've got people here. They wouldn't be out here tonight if they weren't ready to do something. But the last thing, as I said, I wanted to touch on, the John's cars. We have to find a way to work around that law. And I'm not going to put anybody in the spot in this room right now. How do we do it? We'll find a way. And once we find that way and the Johns are afraid to come into these neighborhoods, that drives the pimps away. Then there's no supply and demand. Okay? I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's find a way to do it. Well, if it's the kind of public- My wife said, explain. I thought I just did. If we take away those cars, and we're not going to do it physically, it has to be done by law. But, of course, it's complicit in the crime, because it's complicit in the crime in the neighborhoods. That's where we're the victims. And before I put everybody to sleep, let's thank the city council again for putting this meeting. Our city council,
yeah.
Neighborhood council.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schultz. Well, with that, everyone, that concludes the program for tonight. I'd like to thank everyone for coming, all the speakers, and everyone that stayed to this late hour in the night for addressing this issue. It is my honor and privilege as the council president to adjourn the meeting.
And we'll have a continuation.